for joining us for another episode of The Media Twits. I'm Mark Glazer, executive editor of PBS Media Shift. This episode of The Media Twits is brought to you by CUNY Graduate School of Journalism, offering an intensive, cutting-edge, three-semester Master of Arts in Journalism and a unique one-semester Advanced Certificate in Entrepreneurial Journalism, and CUNY JCamp, a series of continuing professional development workshops focused on emerging trends and skill sets in the industry. Learn more at journalism.cuny.edu. Welcoming Rafat Ali from New York. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome to East Coast.
Yeah, I'm in actually taping this from Boston. Here for the ONA conference. Last night we threw a Media Shift mixer co-hosted with ONA. Had a great turnout there at this place called Storyville. Well, actually, I found out Billie Holiday had recorded her live at Storyville album from way back when. So it's kind of a really nice place.
And you're there mainly for the conference or mainly for event?
Just for everything. I mean, really just to see everybody in the community. A lot of Media Shift people who are involved in our site, you know, or contribute or read or do something. You know, this is really the big online media, online journalism conference. It has been for a long time. I remember going way back in one of the first ones. I think I was up for an award along with Dan Gilmore and Jay Rosen for best online commentary or something that Dan Gilmore won, even though he wasn't there. So I've been going a bunch of times, and this show has, I think, 1,200 plus people. They actually sold out again, I think, for maybe the third year in a row. So they're super successful.
Yeah. I mean, I was there, I think, last year. Yeah, I was there last year. It was in D.C., I think.
Right, it was in D.C., that's true. I didn't make it. And what was it like? Was it also very packed, very boisterous?
It was the day when Jon Stewart did his rally in D.C. So I ran from my panel to that rally. I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder what that says, that there's – I'm noticing there's just so many – there's such a big push for media conferences. You know, everyone talks about – you know, journalism is dying and everything's so horrible, and yet you see so many people going to this conference now. Mashable has a media conference they just announced. The people at D and All Things D just announced a D media conference. So maybe, I don't know, maybe the conference part of the media business is doing pretty well.
Yeah, I'm going to launch a conference called Dancing on Their Graves. That's going to be my next conference. So it's just, that'll be, I guess that's what all of us are doing.
Yeah, so maybe it's the old school conferences that are dying off, and maybe these new, this kind of new wave of conferences, it's all about digital and technology, you know, that's where it's at. Or maybe it's just people who want to learn new ways of doing things, and they feel like, you know, hey, our industry is changing. This is the time to go to events, to network, to find jobs, to learn new skills, to make new connections. I'm guessing that's what's behind it, this, the popularity.
Yeah, I mean, chaos means opportunity, so I guess that's really what it is for the conference people. And for the people who are organizing these conferences and for people who are attending it, it's what you just said, I think.
Yeah. So let's get into the to what we've got to talk about, because our show is really, it's happening right after a very big announcement by Facebook. And Mark Zuckerberg and the fake Mark Zuckerberg on stage. They made a huge announcement. So we'll talk about what Facebook just announced with Timeline and the apps and the Open Graph apps. And then we have on a special guest, Dan Reimold, a professor at University of Tampa, who wrote a pretty negative piece about Google Plus. So we'll also talk about how the Facebook announcement relates to Google Plus, and we'll also have on freelance journalist Frederick Lardinois, who runs Silicon Filter and used to write at ReadWrite Web, And he'll also talk about, he kind of had a counterpoint on Google to Google Plus, saying that he really got a lot of use out of it, really liked it. So really this show is kind of about this battle that we're seeing between Facebook and Google Plus now, and Twitter kind of in the background, although still, you know, obviously being used by a lot of people. But today, really, the focus is on Facebook and F8. Did you get to catch most of that announcement, Rafat?
I did. I catched the great music and the great acting by Facebook communications team, then followed by great acting by Zuckerberg. Yeah, I did watch I watched almost till the end until Zuckerberg came off stage and other people started coming in. Yeah, what was your first reaction?
Well, I
mean, we sort of knew what was coming, but didn't realize it was going to be this dramatic.
Yeah, I mean, getting past the kind of weird, kind of happy people at the beginning, and you know, the Andy Samberg, you know, impression of Mark Zuckerberg, which I thought was pretty bold and kind of a little bit, there were some funny reactions to it online, but a lot of people didn't really like it. I thought it took guts, I guess, to have someone come on and make fun of you before you get on. That's something Steve Jobs, I doubt, would ever do anything close to that.
Actually, there was a video that was circulating that Noah Wyle did come on in 1999 before a Steve Jobs keynote.
Oh, okay. And so he did have a sense of humor about
it. He did have I don't know, sense of humor, but that was one instance where it was something in the past that was similar.
Okay. Now, as far as the announcement itself, you know, let's just go over it really quickly. The biggest thing is what they're calling Timeline, which is one place to share everything in your life, your whole life, on Facebook, where you can basically, you know, put your photos, everything you already are sharing, but maybe a way of really an archive of your life where you can go back in time to the date you were born and put in your baby pictures, put in all these pictures, put in all the big things that have happened, your milestones, and obviously to capture everything moving forward in your life. So that's one big part of it. The other part is this open graph of apps, apps that, you know, basically going beyond the like and friend part and saying, you know, any verb, doing anything. So you can find out what your movies your friends are watching, what music they're listening to. And I'm guessing, from what I could tell in the demo, you click on what they're, you know, looking at or doing, and you actually can see, have that experience yourself and see the video, listen to the music. You know, read stories. That's the other part, is it almost looks like a news reader in a way, where you can see the entire stories. So there's a lot to swallow in that announcement. It's hard to tell because some of that was the ticker part has already been started on people's profiles, but we're not seeing the timeline yet. It's funny because just noting the reaction, I kind of was doing a live running commentary on Google Plus, and I was watching what was going on Facebook at the same time, and you could tell there's a split between people who, you know, reacted to it on Facebook really positively, and then people on Google Plus saying this is a nightmare in privacy.
I was surprised by the dramatic sort of changes that they've done. It looks kind of like a pretty magazine Tumblr that you would build for yourself using Facebook. Is what it seems like, and
yeah, that was my first impression. Is it looked like they were building something that was almost like your own kind of a blog / Tumblr.
Yeah, and of course married with social stuff, and a lot of the stuff is which Mark Zuckerberg sort of casually mentioned, the words that he assumptions that he makes about, oh, so this is going to happen, so you're going to do this, and this is, we're moving this because you want this. Well, not really, but because you're saying so, that's what we have to endure. So
it's a little bit of brainwashing going on in a way.
Or whatever he believes in, he thinks the world has to believe in it. It does look very nice. I'm happy about how the photographs will be displayed as something that I've taken up recently, and doing a lot more photography, and I'm glad that they've sort of finally caught up with, let's say, Google Plus or even some of the other sites, Tumblr and stuff, to display photographs as well. So that would be interesting to see what the engagement level on photographs and stuff is. It just seems a lot more visually driven just from the demo that he gave.
Yeah.
But that may not, of course, everybody's not going to do that.
Yeah, and I saw some people saying that against Google Plus, you know, that the which has become kind of a photography haven, you know, maybe this is a way to get to kind of entice photographers back and really make it a nice big design that's very eye catching.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, you know, this because you're close to Flickr. A lot of photographers jumped from Flickr to Google Plus. Thomas Hawk, who you and I know, one of the famous ones in Silicon Valley, he jumped very quickly and has been evangelizing Google Plus as a photographer's haven. Heaven. I'm wondering what his reaction to what Google is going to do will be.
Definitely. Well, let's bring on our guests and see what they have to say, because I'm sure I know that they've been following along with the announcements and they have some strong feelings, at least about Google Plus. So let's see what they have to say. So Dan Reimold is an assistant professor of journalism at University of Tampa. He writes and presents frequently on campus press and maintains a student journalism industry blog, College Media Matters, which is affiliated with the Associated Collegiate Press. His first book, Sex and the University, Celebrity Controversy and a Student Journalism Revolution, was published in fall of 2010 by Rutgers University Press. We also have Frederick Lardinois, who is the founder of Silicon Filter, a new tech blog that covers consumer-focused web technologies. Before starting his own site, Frederick wrote for ReadWriteWeb, one of the most influential tech blogs, and he's also finishing up his dissertation on English monasteries. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Same here. Thank you.
So, and Rafat Ali is a co-host on as well, founder of Paid Content. He's on the line as well. We were just talking.
Hey guys.
So we were just talking about the big announcements over at Facebook. We've both been, you know, caught up in the Mark Zuckerberg announcement, and also, you know, kind of a little tired of everything that Mark Zuckerberg says we now have to do at Facebook. And I saw a little bit that you've been on Google Plus talking a little bit about it too, Frederick. What was your take on what Facebook announced? Just off the bat, was it a feeling of I don't know, excitement, dread, a mix?
really a mix of all. It was all a bit much. I mean, there was so much that was announced today. I'm a little bit concerned by the amount of sharing they really want us to do at this point, and a lot of it being automated. It's just too much for me. That's my first off the bat reaction.
Yeah. What about you, Dan? Did you follow what was going on?
Yeah, I maybe haven't had as much time to look at it as others, but I remember reacting with a bit of a sigh. And it's just kind of something I guess we have to decide if we want to dive into and really take a look at to understand everything that's coming down right now.
I mean, how do you guys, I know, Dan, you know, you wrote this thing saying you tried out Google Plus, you put some effort into it, it didn't really take for you. What's been your experience with Facebook and Google, you know, both of those, and maybe even Twitter, and how have they, you know, worked for you? What hasn't worked? What's been your experience with those?
Yeah, I mean, Facebook was something that I signed up for in college, and it was, you know, still for the, you know, EDU only crowd. There was nothing like it. It had that in West Wing terms, the big mo. It had that momentum where you felt like you really needed to be on it. I've had an up and down relationship with it over the years, and that I found when I spent a few years in Singapore that it was a great way to keep in touch with a lot of people that, you know, otherwise probably would have fallen off my radar. You know, at the same time, it's you know, it's been something more and more. I've gone to Twitter for story ideas for the blog, to follow some great snarky commentary when, you know, certain events are happening in real time, you know, watching the Emmys and being an Eagles fan, watching the game the other night on Twitter the entire time. With G Plus, I mean, I was invited and pretty excitedly signed up, you know, added people I both knew and, did not know, including a few, you know, journalism and tech idols like Brian Stelter. I invited people myself, obviously people I did know. I engaged a bit and tried to take in, you know, what the service had to offer. And I found two things. I found that anyone I knew, you know, people in all walks of life I would be interested to hear from, interact with, signed up and then nothing, you know, no activity whatsoever. You know, they seemed to basically treat it like a LinkedIn profile. You know, they signed on, created it, and then went back to the web platforms that, you know, were already working for them. And the second thing I found is that the people I didn't know, for the most part, with exceptions, you know, weren't really saying anything all that interesting. You know, even those whose blogs or Twitter feeds I'd really come to like and follow. And after a while, it just kind of bored me. And I think the kicker for me was when I attended the AJMC convention in St. Louis last month.
And this is for journalism educators, right?
Yeah, journalism educators and some grad students. And you know, there's some tech heads, but it's you know, it's also the traditional folks. And, you know, mentioned Google Plus in a few conversations with people, figuring it would be sort of a topic, you know, of interest as, you know, we're all kind of preparing for the school year. One of the main reasons I went on this summer and was taking a look at it. And, you know, a majority of the responses I got were along the lines of kind of, I've seen it. You know, kind of like they were talking about a, you know, half decent movie they'd seen a few weeks before. So that was the point when the school year was starting that, you know, I decided to shed my identity, you know, left my profile up, but took everything else down and, you know, searched around for what others were saying at that point and found that, you know, in this debate, a number of people, you know, shared my sentiments as well.
Yeah. And when you posted, you know, your post went up on MediaShift, you know, saying, you know, obviously, you know, very negative about Google Plus and, you know, quoting this other writer saying, you know, it was almost a ghost town. You know, it was a, you know, you knew when you wrote that, when you posted it, when you wrote it, that, you know, you were going to get this incredible response. I mean, this has been the most read story on MediaShift in our existence in one day. I mean, that's how much response there's been. A lot of people said this is just link bait, you know, this is just a way to get people to read things. But, you know, the thing that really surprised me about the story was the vehemence of the way that people responded to it. You know, it wasn't just like, okay, this guy, you know, is making a stupid point, I don't agree with him. It's a really, like, religious way that people are reacting to the social networks. And to me, it's reminding me of what happened back when you wrote negative things about Macintosh and about Apple and the whole PC and Mac debate. Now, it almost feels like that's being transferred over to social networks, where the people at Facebook are saying, you know, people on Twitter were so happy to read your story because they felt the same way about Google Plus. And then people on Google Plus were like, oh, how can he say that about this? This guy's insane. Who is this guy? That's the thing that really got me, was this religious reaction to things.
Yeah, I knew it was coming to a certain extent after I'd read the very zealous responses to Paul Tassi's piece about a month ago on Forbes.com. You know, the link bait or attention grabbing, I did decide to declare Google Plus dead. I think that's the biggest hyperbole that I fully respect, got a lot of people talking. You know, the ghost town quote inclusion, I guess, also obviously in the headline caught some attention. I mean, I think Mark and Fry, you know, I mean, I've had a great time writing for MediaShift. I've never seen it as something that I'm doing to grab attention. And I think you know what I mean, you know, versus, you know, maybe certain other outlets. But I think it's great that it's gotten so much attention. And I was as shocked as you were with the platform debate in that, yeah, for the most part, I think it's pretty fair to say it was about 95-96% positive on Twitter and a few other areas, and obviously attacked pretty harshly on Google Plus. And the only thing that sort of shocked me, besides being called a hater by Bill Keller, which was an interesting moment, was the idea that it was somehow my fault. And this is something I was interested in engaging Frederick in, if he's up for it. You know, I was told, and in private emails as well, that I was not engaging enough with people or with the right people, or that I simply didn't get it, or that I didn't work hard enough to make it a success. Now, on one level, absolutely fine, very reasonable. On another level, though, it's truly left me asking kind of, you know, why would I continue putting work into a service that I spent a couple months trolling around on and, you know, and giving it a shot when no one else outside the techies and the early adopters are really on it? and that then requires uber amounts of work to build up, when frankly I feel like I've got some pretty good platforms already working just fine for me. And you know, a lot of others apparently, you know, feel the same way. You know, and I am curious about Frederick's response, only in the sense that he wrote what I feel is a very reasonable response amid the people calling me morons and a third-rate academic and things. But I was curious about the statement that he made, that my opinion doesn't matter. And the only argument I would make is that I felt like in some ways mine matters even more than someone like Robert Scoble, only in the sense that I am not a tech evangelist. I'm just someone trying to keep up and really enjoying lots of parts of the digital media, and simply haven't found G Plus working for me. And I feel like I'm kind of more speaking for the regular folks. I don't feel like an influencer in that way. That's been my experience with the reaction.
If I can jump in there, I think you're probably right. What's interesting to me is that there's such a difference in the experience between different people on Google Plus. For me, it's probably the platform where I get the most engagement, where I get the most value out of engaging there as well for myself. And it's just, you know, your experience is completely different. For you, it was pretty much going in there and it was dead. And for me, I go in there and it's hopping every day. And that may be because also I'm engaging with a different kind of audience. For me, those early adopters, for me, those techies are the people I'm talking to. So Google Plus is probably just the right platform for that kind of engagement. But it's just, you know, for your use case, I would say, you know, I looked at your profile, obviously, and it seemed pretty dead. It seemed like you weren't sharing a lot of things publicly, which I think is one of the most important things to do on Google Plus if you want to engage a lot of people.
I've erased everything but basically having the credits on there, because frankly, I was kind of waiting. I'm kind of hoping that maybe one day I'm going to get lots of, you know, invites from my students and, you know, people I know, and feel like it has that big mo, it has the momentum. But I respect that you took a look at it, and, you know, I have not engaged anywhere near as much as you or many of the others who have come down on me. I respect that.
That's okay. I wasn't aware that you had deleted those things. But for me, it's all about the engagement right now on Google Plus, and that's really where I'm getting the value out of it. And maybe I noticed you were citing, it was Paul Tassi, right, from Forbes.com, and a lot of us and me myself also kind of criticized him when he wrote that piece because he hadn't engaged at all. And what I noticed is I was looking at his profile again today, is that now he is engaging on Google Plus, and he's getting a lot of responses every time he post something on Google Plus, which is about once or twice a day. So I would advise, you know, just go back and give it another shot, especially now that it's open for everybody. I have noticed I've got, you know, hundreds of new followers in the last few days, and it's getting even more active than it was before.
Another point is that Jen Lee Reeves, who's at University of Missouri, she just posted something on, we just put it up on MediaShift just moments ago. Her kind of guide to how journalists should use Google Plus. And I think she kind of runs down the, you know, well, here's how you might use Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, and giving tips and things like that. I think it's not, it is different for so many different people. So many people I've told about it, they've had, you know, I've had people, my experience has been incredible. It's been like yours, Frederick. I've had so many followers, so much interaction, and I've done some tests where I'm somewhere doing kind of a live blogging type of thing or you know, posting about what I'm doing at a conference or whatever. And I've done it on all the platforms, and I might get a kind of a retweet on Twitter, or I might get like a like on Facebook. And on Google Plus, there's a huge conversation going on, and it's just, you know, it just catches fire. So I've had really good experiences, but then I've heard from other people who've had this kind of dead experience. And I wonder if maybe we should be thinking about, what was your experience, Rafa?
I think that you will get a response. Well, there are a couple of ways of looking at it. One is that I think that somehow Google Plus seems to be more about loose ties coming together, and people, it's sort of more semi-public than Facebook. Somewhere sitting in between Twitter and Facebook is Google Plus, where there are looser ties than Facebook, but slightly more deeper ties than Twitter. That's sort of one way of looking at it. The other point that I would say is that you will get the more you give, the more you get, and this is true of any platform. I put in a lot of effort on Twitter, so I get a lot of response on Twitter. I put a lot of effort in my friend circle on Facebook in a slightly different way, and then I get a bunch of response for that. In Google Plus, I don't put an effort, I'm not getting much back, and I'm not expecting anything. So if I had, I probably would have. So that's kind of how I look at it.
And I think that is incredibly true, and to me it comes down to the idea of motivation and what is truly being seen, I think, by the masses as something that's just not different enough to really motivate us to put in what I think is very true, the work that you need to do to really enjoy it. You know, Rochelle Knigel is a journalism professor at San Francisco State University, kind of a biggie in the student journalism community, mentioned as well after my post went up that she feels like everyone's sort of suffering from social media fatigue right now. You know, and the idea of it being so different from what I think is sort of a Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr combination is just not in a lot of people's heads. And I mean, literally, you know, my students laugh when I bring it up. It was something a few signed up for and have moved on. There's a great piece on USA Today College today from a student saying Google Plus is just not making waves with the college crowd. You know, so there are those out there. I'm not, you know, I certainly don't hate Google Plus. I know I've become Mr. Anti-Google Plus in the past few days, but I just don't see it having the attraction that motivates me to sign on with the few minutes of my day that I have to spend with social media.
Well, so let's think about like what can Google do, or what can any of these platforms do to make it less work intensive? I mean, is that the kind of the fatal flaw of a lot of these networks, that you have to put in so much time and effort to get all your things there, unless it's totally integrated into all your devices and all your services, which is what I guess Facebook just did today. It just seems like there's always those extra steps of getting everything into the service.
Well, I wonder if Facebook isn't going a little bit overboard with that today. But looking at Google Plus, for example, I think what they're doing is all right now, because a lot of what Google Plus right now is about is exactly the opposite of what Facebook is doing. It's not about automatically sharing things. It's about being very precise about what you're sharing and with whom you're sharing that kind of information. So I think it's all right. And Google, obviously, you know, they've got enough money. They can wait this out for a long time and see what happens. And you know, don't be surprised by a lot of the updates that are coming from Google Plus in the next few months as well. I mean, these guys are really working on this thing hard right now, and they're betting a lot of the company on it.
And I would say that's a very good stance, in my opinion. I'm definitely in agreement with that, in the sense that I proclaimed it dead, but I do believe in the idea that you're only dead until you're alive again. And I think if Google Plus does the marketing and rolls out something truly seen as groundbreaking or hip, or something that the both younger crowd and sort of the mainstream masses that I would sort of put myself in, that love all things digital but don't have a ton of time, anymore with what we have existing, then I think it could be a success. I just would caution people who are getting very excited about the number of people signing on in the last 24, 48 hours, that to me the sign-on stats mean absolutely nothing. It's going to be how many people actually engage with the service after a week or two of tooling around and seeing what's what. I think that's going to really be the key to seeing whether this is going to catch on and not just be something that's going to be among the tech heads and maybe now what I'm hearing, the sort of celebrity crowd.
And Frederick, how do you use it as far as being a journalist and writing about things? I know that, you know, on Twitter, a lot of us will use Twitter to throw out some ideas and maybe get some sources for stories. Do you find that on Google Plus, or is it more of a feedback loop that you'll post things about your stories and get really good feedback?
Well, it's both, really. I often post some ideas before I start writing a story and get some feedback on that. And it's pretty much how I use Twitter as well. Difference being that on Twitter, I barely get as many comments or, you know, retweets or anything that I would be getting on Google Plus. And the other thing is also, as a publisher, obviously, I use it to get some traffic to my stories. And there, at this point, it's outperforming Twitter, where I've got about the same amount of followers on my accounts. So it's really a mix of both things. But at the end of the day, I think I pretty much use it the same way as I use Twitter.
To any of you, this is a question, I guess, more for people who've done research on this. Does interaction have anything to do with the size of a service? The more earlier on, as people, it's a more smaller communities, happened certainly with blogging, a lot more back and forth, as opposed to what's happened in the blogging world now. Everybody is in their own niches. Is it just a matter of time before sort of Google Plus for people who are getting a lot of interaction reaches that stage.
I'll say on a maybe side note with that, I find that to be a very interesting question, and I think you see evidence of what you're mentioning in the response, to the piece of mine that was posted, in the sense that Robert Scoble's first response was basically, I looked at this piece, laughed, went back to work, and this is kind of great because we can keep this as our little secret, and we don't have to let anyone else in. We're enjoying this very kind of closed niche that we have. And I did find that to be an interesting response. And I don't know if that's even something where I mentioned to him in the discussion thread, maybe this is win-win, in the sense that maybe Google Plus's identity would, completely shift and become something that, the people who have really, been passionate about it since the early days would no longer like.
Well, just as an anecdote, this whole discussion reminds me a lot about what we used to discuss when FriendFeed first came, on the scene, and Robert Scoble was also one of the guys who really hyped that one.
Yeah,
and
he was saying, friend feed is like the end all be all. I mean, he was really a diehard for that.
Right, and that also started out as a scene just for the techies, for the really early adopters, really at that time. And as they tried to open it up and become more mainstream, they pretty much died because the mainstream wasn't that interested in it. So there's definitely a chance for Google Plus that the same thing is going to happen to them as well. And that's a danger for them. So I sometimes share some of Dan's hesitations when it comes to Google Plus, even though I'm overall pretty positive about it.
And in the spirit of that kind of conciliatory tone, I would say I share some of your positivity in the sense that, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, it is Google though. And they seem to really be piggybacking on this and really putting a lot of effort in. And I think that could be the one thing that, unlike FriendFeed or some of the others that have just sort of died away, could give it that edge, that maybe in 6 months or a year's time, we could be having a different type of conversation.
One thing I noticed with your story, which I thought was interesting, and looking at the referrals of, where all the traffic was coming to, there was a lot of traffic coming from LinkedIn, which I hadn't really even thought of as a traffic driver. Have any of you guys experienced that before, seeing traffic from LinkedIn or use it as a way to promote stories?
Yeah, absolutely. It's getting huge. I mean, I often see more shares on LinkedIn than on Twitter these days. And if you look at some of the big blogs, I think TechCrunch now uses LinkedIn as one of the default sharing buttons on their site because they're seeing so much traffic coming from it. At least that's what the TechCrunch people tell me. So, yeah, it's definitely a trend right now.
And yeah, I have to say it's been interesting in that I think the thing that helps me is, occasionally writing about students or the student newspapers. I'm surprised how much, I guess, that gets embedded them in some of their resume listings and different things. And it's interesting. It's a pretty steady traffic flow. And I have found that fascinating over about the last 4 or 5, 6 months.
And this is people that are using LinkedIn as status, as a place to post their status or to link their other Twitter or Facebook status updates into LinkedIn. Is that what they're doing?
That's my understanding of it. Frederick, I don't know if you've had a different experience with that. But.
No, same here. I've always been a little bit puzzled by where those people actually come from because that's not how I use LinkedIn. But it's perfectly fine with me. I don't know how they do it.
I mean, it feels to me like this is really one of those topics that, today, such big change happening at Facebook. It's something that I think all of us as media people are going to keep watching so carefully because everything just is changing so fast, and it's hard for us to know, where do we put our attention, where do we put our effort, and what do we get out of that? It's like you're putting so much time into these networks. And they're getting a lot out of it. They're getting, your eyeballs. They're getting your data. There's a lot of questions about privacy and where all this is going. But, what are we getting out of it? I mean, that's always the question. Are we getting enough out of it as much as we're giving, right?
I think that perfectly sums things up.
Yeah. All right.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
Bye
bye.
Bye.
And then there was which TechCrunch has been reporting, or somebody has been reporting for a while, that Facebook might launch a separate photo app. It's interesting that Color, which that $41 million app that failed miserably, that all of us made fun of, relaunched today along with this. along with the Facebook changes, piggybacking all the changes that Facebook has done. So there's some stories out there which we can talk about, I guess, next week or something.
Yeah, and also the whole Wall Street Journal social thing that they announced. It almost seems like they jumped the gun announcing this announcing kind of a social app that lives within Facebook, and everyone couldn't figure out what they were talking about and why they were doing that. And now it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, both. I was at the launch of the Wall Street Journal social Get Social thing that they call a launch event, and it does look nice. It sort of strips everything, looks generic enough now because everything has to conform to Facebook's branding. Washington Post launched a huge effort with Facebook on this as well. Of course, they will, because Don Graham is on the board of Facebook and is personally very close to Zuckerberg, that everybody knows. And so they're part of the demo. It just looks like if you take a Washington Post story page within Facebook and Wall Street Journal page within story Facebook, they look completely the same except for the logo. So it'd be interesting to see how media companies are willing to subsume their identity as part of this.
Yeah, and it just that these things live within Facebook, you know, that definitely changes things. And there's questions about, you know, what are the ads that are going to run next to that? How is that going to work? Is it going to be Wall Street Journal ads? Is it going to be Facebook ads? Is it going to be a combination of those? You know, are they going to do revenue shares? I mean, how will that work?
Yeah, I haven't dug deep into that, but I know what Wall Street Journal is doing is for first month on Facebook, there everything is free. And it's sponsored by Dell. I don't. They haven't said what's going to happen after that. I'm guessing Facebook will launch some sort of payment mechanism, or just will become some sort of seamless payment mechanism.
Yeah, so that it's like paid content that you see on Facebook once you're a subscriber.
Yes, and for now, everything that your friends share, you can see on Wall Street Journal for free, which is pretty easy to game if you want to read the whole thing.
Yeah, no question. And you know, like we talked about last week, BostonGlobe.com, you know, when they have their kind of paid site, but, you know, they don't have a limit, as he told us, on the amount of people who can go through social media and Google links. So, you know, it's like putting up a paid wall that obviously has a very big leak in it.
Yeah, I think deliberately that most of these publishers are not realizing they have to. It just has to, it cannot be either or. It just has to be and with any of these paid content efforts. And I think New York Times has led the way on this, and now everybody else is looking at it too.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Media Twits. I'm Mark Glazer, executive editor of PBS Media Shift, along with Rafat Ali, the co-host of The Media Twits. We want to thank our guests, Dan Reimold, as well as Frederick Lardinois, and our sponsor, the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism, and PBS and the Knight Foundation for making this podcast possible. Be sure to check out all the news, polls, and events over at PBS Media Shift at pbs.org/mediashift and our sister site, Idea Lab, at pbs.org/idealab. We'll catch you next week.